For the first time in a generation, Skagway School has single-grade classrooms. And three Skagway residents were rescued by the Canadian military after getting lost during a river trip. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Three Skagway residents are safe today after being rescued near Bennett Lake. They got lost during a trip on the Wheaton River. A search and rescue was called after one of them didn't show up to work in Skagway on Monday. Private pilots and police took part in the search in the Yukon, but in the end, the paddlers were rescued by an unexpected source, the Canadian military. It just so happens that Canadian Forces Griffin helicopters were training as part of Operation Nanook. The CBC's Philippe Moret met with one of the paddlers, Shane Yarborough, at the Whitehorse Airport Tuesday morning, just after the rescue.
My name is Shane. I'm from Skagway.
Can you take it right from the beginning? What happened?
We decided to go on a pack raft trip. It was supposed to be only about an hour, two-hour run that we were able to run multiple times a day. And we got to the point where we were supposed to be, we had been paddling about 6 hours and realized that we had done something wrong. But we realized we were in the same valley that we started, and we had gone to the opposite side of the valley by following the river. So we tried to cut across the valley and get up on the ridge to find the road. And then that did not happen, so we tried to cut back, get to the river, walk upstream. And then we just kind of got turned around in the river, so we found the highest open area we could around us and just sat down and set up camp and stayed there until everybody came to get us.
I see the people you're traveling with. You've got, looks like good gear, good jackets, that kind of thing. How well were you prepared out there?
We had tents, sleeping bags, sleeping pads. We had food enough for the first day because we thought it was going to be like a short trip we were going on, but we all had bottled water. We were warm and dry the whole time. We had a fire. We had a tarp set up as well as the tent. So we were nice and ready for the situation we were in.
When did you get the sense that you weren't going to be able to make your way out yourself? When did you know this was, it became serious?
Yesterday, when we were on the ridge and we realized that we were turned around. We started hearing planes and seeing a helicopter, and that was like a big indicator that we had been going a little longer than we should. So that's when we decided to sit down. We sat down at about 1:30 yesterday, and so we were there for about 18 hours or so.
So just last question. Have you learned any advice or anything you pass on to other groups to prevent this kind of thing in the future?
I think to a certain extent, if you play outside long enough, you're going to get into a situation where you're a little over your head. But with that being said, you should always be prepared. Like, each of us had a lighter and a knife, and we had enough tents and tarps and sleeping bags and sleeping pads for everybody. And if we hadn't had that stuff, we would have been in a much worse situation.
That was rescued paddler and Skagway guide Shane Yarborough speaking with the CBC's Philippe Moret Tuesday. For more than 20 years, Skagway School had multi-age classrooms. Teachers taught two or three grade levels together. But an increase in student enrollment prompted the school to transition to single-grade elementary classrooms this year.
So we have 13 cupcakes to bring to the party.
It's the second week of classes at Skagway School. Teacher Courtney Ellingson, also known as Miss Fun, has a math problem for her second graders. There are 13 cupcakes, and Kurt and Malcolm eat four of them. How many cupcakes are left?
So you kind of did some mental math there?
Take a few steps to the right, and on the other side of a removable wall, first graders are learning about math with their teacher, Denise Capozzi.
Did anyone get any different numbers? Did you get 5 and 3 also?
This is the first year since Ellingson and Capozzi started teaching at Skagway School that they've been in separate classrooms. Before, they co-taught kindergarten through second grade. Here's Capozzi.
So this is my 19th year teaching, and I have never taught a single grade In all the years that I've been in Skagway School, I've always had multiple grade assignments.
For the first time in a generation, we have single grade classrooms, kindergarten through sixth grade.
Superintendent Josh Coffrin proposed this big change to the school board last year. Skagway had just passed a major threshold. Enrollment was over 100 students for the first time in about 7 years. The jump in numbers meant a $280,000 increase in state funding, allowing the school to hire 3 new teachers and make the transition to single grade classrooms.
Enrollment is through the roof. Our high point of enrollment this year for K through 12 was 124 students. We haven't seen a number like that in 16 years.
That number will likely drop a bit after seasonal residents leave around the end of September. Coffrin estimates that when the state does its official student count in October, the school will have between 115 and 120 kids. Like first grade teacher Capozzi, fifth grade teacher Mary Thole has taught at Skagway School for over 15 years. Until recently, she taught a combined fifth and sixth grade group.
For me, the biggest change is you still have the same number of hours and minutes in the day. I had 50 minutes for math before, and I taught 2 grades. So one lesson to one grade, another lesson. Then I was literally jogging across the room, and now I have 1 grade, 1 focus, and I still have 50 minutes. So we can go richer and deeper and just take more time.
Superintendent Coffrin says that's the biggest benefit he's heard from teachers, being able to focus on 1 grade and spend more time with each student.
The only disadvantage that I can think of is that we've gotten so good at multi-age and multi-grade classrooms, and we've sharpened our skills so much in being able to do that, is that perhaps maybe you lose some of that.
Capozzi says that's the only hesitation she had about single grade classrooms.
I believe in multi-age groupings because of the fact that younger children work so well with the older students, and older students are then able to be leaders.
The removable wall that separates the first and second grade makes it easy to incorporate group activities like reading buddies.
So we're not completely letting go of our multi-age, but it's just that now we have single grade teachers, and that makes for more adult interaction.
Thole says she's noticed another impact on her 10 student classroom.
I feel a strength in the grade level identity and the team and the connectedness that my fifth graders have. I feel it with all of the teachers. Like, there is the fourth grade, and there is the third grade, and they can now define themselves that way, which they've never done before.
Thole says the enrollment trend bodes well for Skagway's year-round job prospects. The 1,000-person town's economy is heavily reliant on summer tourism, and many people leave once the last cruise ship sails away. But the fact that more students are coming into the school could mean that Skagway's economy is supporting more families staying year-round. A Skagway rafting company is seeking approval to build a floating dock on the west shore of Taya Inlet, about 7 miles southwest of Skagway. Ocean Raft Alaska says the dock will be used to access a rainforest walking trail. In an application to the Alaska Department of Natural Resources, Ocean Raft Alaska says it wants guests to feel like they're stepping into, quote, a remote Alaska wilderness setting in the middle of a fjord. The proposed floating dock and walking trail are located in a secluded area between Skagway and Haines. In the application, the company says there are no trails or roads connecting the area to either town. During the summer, Ocean Raft Alaska plans to shuttle about 5,000 visitors to the trail in Zodiac-type boats. In the off-season, the 30-by-10-foot dock would be placed in storage. To access the trail from the dock, Ocean Raft hopes to build a ramp and set of stairs, which could also be removed. From there, they plan to build a 160-foot suspension bridge leading to the start of the trail. The trail would include a small graded path through the forest with switchbacks and rope handrails strung between trees. Ocean Raft says in the application that their goal is to be as minimally intrusive as possible on the natural environment. They say any trapping of modern society would detract from the wilderness feel of the tour. The company is going through the permitting process right now. They applied to DNR for a 5-year permit to place the floating dock in state-owned tidelands. The deadline for public comments on that application closes tomorrow, Wednesday. You can find links with more information posted with this story at khns.org. Representatives for Ocean Raft Alaska did not return requests for comment by airtime. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.